This is the celebration of the Holy Trinity. Our first scripture reading introduces us to God as our Creator from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, a second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm and with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is taken from the book of Acts. It's found in Acts chapter 2 and continues our readings from the day of Pentecost. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God had did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel or your Old Testament lesson for today. The account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is our text. I just can't get over how good it is to be in front of people again. Not that we didn't have around 10 here every week before, but this is a blast. And it's been difficult over these last several months for all of us, because a tiny little thing that you can't even see with your eyes has caused this much devastation. You know, I was taught growing up that of all the life forms that exist on the earth, viruses were the most simple life form. But you know, you see the picture of that thing that's in the news all the time. That's a little complicated piece of thing. And what's so amazing is that with all our technical prowess, you know, how far we have come technologically in our nation today, they still don't have that thing figured out. It's a reminder to us of how little we really don't know. Such a simple little life form, part of God's creation. But as I've heard even Dr. Fauci say, I think most of you have heard of his name by this point in time, we still don't have it all figured out. We get arrogant sometimes with regard to what we think we know. And we try to explain away things in human terms that only God Himself can really know and understand. Even in terms of understanding how the world got created, we try to come up with our own human explanations. Now, if you're in a science class these days, you'll probably be told about something like a Big Bang. But down through history, that process has always been around, trying to explain creation in human terms. I was watching a movie with one of my granddaughters the other day, Moana. How many of you have seen Moana? Yeah, kind of cool. It's about this mythical guy by the name of Maui. And like so many other ancient stories about creation, there are explanations for how things came into being. Like the islands were created by his fishhook. He claimed to his brothers that he had caught a big fish with it. And actually, he was dragging up from the bottom of the ocean the islands that form the Polynesian islands, such like Hawaii. The reason the sun gets longer and the days get longer is because he lassoed it. You know, even the ancient peoples tried to understand the creation, make it understandable in terms of human ideas. And when I was reading through our gospel lesson for today in that context, our Old Testament lesson for today in that context, one of the things that struck me about creation is the mystery of it as explained by the Bible. There is no war between gods where somehow out of that war and out of their bleeding and their guts, a world comes into existence. And that's one creation myth that exists. There's nobody with a giant fish hook dragging up the mountains. There's just the word. God says, and it is. And if you walk up to God and say, well, God, how did you do that? By just speaking a word, God's word to you would be, can't explain it. It's what I do. Because I'm God and you're not. On this particular weekend, there is another mystery about God that we focus upon. The mystery of the Trinity. You know, Christianity, growing out of Judaism, is one of the unique religions of all human history. In part because we are, and the fancy term is, monotheistic. Let's all say that together. Monotheistic. If you've never heard the word before, it means that we believe in only one God. That's unique among the history of religions. Only those religions that grew out of the Old Testament, which is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, believe in an idea like that. But Christianity takes it one step further. Not only do we believe there's one God, but we believe that he's also three persons. Why would a human being dream that up? Because you can't explain it. People have tried to do that down through the ages, but every time they come up with a, if you will, human explanation for it, it contradicts the scriptures. My mind can wrap itself around the idea of one. My mind can wrap itself around the idea of three. But I have tried throughout all my life to wrap my head around three and one and try to explain it. And I can't. God, how did you make this world by just speaking a word? You can't understand it because I'm God and you're not. God, how can you be three and still be one? That doesn't make any sense. God says, it will never make sense to you because I am God and you are not. Today we celebrate the mysteries of God, in particular the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And to me, the fact that these are such great mysteries and distinguish what we believe from all other religions that have ever been invented on this planet tells me something about who we're worshiping. He's not a God that man dreams up. And if he's not a God that man can dream up, then he must be a God who's revealed himself to us. And that he has. Ultimately, in that word which was present at creation, that word through which all things were made, that word one day in human history became flesh. and made his dwelling among us, full of one of the other mysteries about the God we worship. Full of, as you read in John chapter 1, grace and truth. Yes, grace also is a mystery to humanity. Because again, as you examine all the religions that have ever been designed by human thought, down through the ages, grace has never been a part of all other religions. When you get to the question, how is man saved? In all the other religions on this planet we call Earth, man enters into the equation. Just like all other religions somehow have God acting like a man and dragging up the islands with a fishhook and lassoing the sun. Or in the one that my parents always told me, when you hear thunder, you know what that is? God's bowling. Yeah, we always try to make God more understandable. We try to make him like us, but God is God and we are not. But that he might make himself known to us, he did take on our human flesh one day in the person of Jesus Christ to make clear to us the truth of our salvation. And the truth of that salvation is that it doesn't depend upon what we do. It depends solely upon what God has done. Paying for our sins, that's not something we could do. So he does it for us. In that human flesh, he's baptized, not because he had sins that needed to be forgiven, but so that he could take upon himself the sins that were committed by us. No, God himself can't die, yet God, in the person of Jesus Christ, goes to the cross. And in a very real sense, God participates in death. How does God do that? I don't know. But in the mystery of God uniting himself to human flesh, we can, in a very real sense, say that on the cross, God died. Yet he lives. Try to understand that? You can't. Why not? Because God is God and we are not. And then he rises from the dead. But as it doesn't rise from the dead alone in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we too are raised. We are united to him in holy baptism. We're united to him in his death so that our sins are paid for. We're united to him in his resurrection so that even though from an earthly point of view it seems that we die, Jesus tells us that whoever lives and believes in him never dies. These all are things that our human brains, our human senses, cannot wrap themselves around. Just like in a few minutes, we're going to get to celebrate Holy Communion again. What you're going to see coming forward is bread and wine, but it's also truly, not just symbolically, but truly the body and blood of Christ. How can this be? I don't know. But that word which brought the heavens and the earth into existence, that word which became human flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, that word which still speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures, that word when spoken over bread and wine according to Jesus becomes also his body and his blood to remind us of his love, his grace, his forgiveness, and the life which we have in him. Christianity is not really one of those religions you can wrap your head around and fully explain. If you can, you're probably teaching a false doctrine. Because Christianity is not a religion that man dreamed up. From the way creation is explained to the person of Jesus Christ, to who God is, it's a mystery. But it is a glorious mystery. One that we are content to leave as a mystery. Because ultimately it's the mystery of why God would love people like you and me. My dear friends in Christ, there's no explaining it. But it's a fact. Let us rejoice in the mystery of who God is. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.